magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, September 28th, 2000. I had to check that. Yep, it is the 28th, 2016. Jason, glad that we connect on the phone lines. That way, even though I think I'm about 88% over this thing, whatever I have, Holly thinks it's allergies because she said, you know, every end of September, early October, you come down with this thing where you can't swallow for a few days and your nose is stuffed and you have headaches. And so I don't know, maybe there's some truth to that. It seems like that has happened or has reoccurred over a number of years, but starting to feel on the mend and was able to run a couple errands. Had to pick Esther up at school yesterday, and then Holly, she has a morning Bible study fellowship class, and then Tuesday evening she has a Beth Moore study, so she's going at it. So we had a flat tire on the van, so I was able to zip in the Jeep and get her, and feeling like I might even make it back to the center today. I took a few pictures last night as I raced in just to kind of keep track of all the progress Jim is making, but it's looking good. The doors are installed. He made a makeshift studio countertop along with the countertop for our kitchenette area. He cut it out of cardboard and taped it together and kind of screwed it down. It looks kind of like it's official. We had like this 12-foot piece of cardboard that the frame maker gave to us, so it was like 12 by 4 or so feet wide, a humongous piece. It took Jim some time, but he cut it up, and I'll post some of those pictures because they're looking pretty good. Quickly, six topics. Pick a number between 1 and 6, or should I just start from the top? Because I want to run through a few of these really quickly.
Five.
Okay, number five. Singing Men's CD. We hope to have that out, the new one, the third one. In fact, kudos to Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's worked on the design and actually has redesigned CD 1 and CD 2. CD 1 was Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God. CD 2 was called Godly Men. And this new CD that'll be out in a couple weeks is called Holy, Holy, Holy. Well, the company that manufactured and produced the first two CDs closed down, and so they didn't have any of the original recordings or the artwork or anything, so we had to kind of remaster them, and so those are going to be available. But thank you, Jason, you've been working hard, and so that CD will be out in probably 2 or 3 weeks. More to say about that, and I'll probably feature more of the songs on a whole program. Okay, number five, checked off.
Okay. Six.
Number six, Israel trip. We haven't said much about it because all 48 slots filled up, I don't know, at day 236 out. We're 146 days out now, and it's still full. In fact, I have one person on the waiting list, but I worked on that as I was home most of the day yesterday. I worked on some of those details and the flights and the arrangements, and we have, I think, 9 people from other areas that will be flying in and meeting us in Newark or meeting us at Tel Aviv. So just excited how God has pulled that together so quickly and what he's going to do in the days ahead. So I'd ask our listeners, as they'll be a participant in this because we'll be learning together and checking in, and when we come back and bring stories or the God sightings, we'll share that with everyone as they pray up and see how God will use that trip. So that's all coming together. I think we're 146 days out. Coming faster than we realized. Now suddenly it's getting closer. When it was like 200 and something days out, I was like, oh, that's years away. But
yeah, well, and once the holidays kick in, I mean, that the last 2 months of the year go by so fast.
Yeah, yeah. All right, number six, checked off.
Okay, three.
Three. Center update. Oh, I kind of gave that. Making great progress. It's painted. We still have plastic up because there's going to be still some sanding to do. And the cabinet counters put in. And let's see, we'll probably deliver a refrigerator in the next few days. And then Jim's got to make the countertop or have them made. And then we're going to have some glass cut for that big conference table. That's so beautiful. So we're excited about that. Probably in 3 or 4 weeks, we might announce some type of gathering. I would love to have our listeners be there for a prayer rally. I think that's the first thing we need to do, is have some kind of teaching or talk on prayer or a gathering on prayer. And then maybe go to the four corners of the mall or the four corners of the streets that are around the mall and pray up how God will use this new Great News Radio Center to advance his kingdom, and then maybe gather and have some, you know, intimate time of prayer in the center itself. So we'll have more to say about that, but yeah, the center is moving forward and we're excited to see what God's going to do. All right, number three checked off.
One.
One. Giveaways. Oh, this past week, I think that's when I knew I was falling fast. Last Saturday at, I have to pause and think about it, at Marketplace Mall, not to be confused with Lincoln Square Mall, but at Marketplace Mall there was a wellness and brain fitness fair, and I'd committed to having a table and handing out Great News Radio resources and such. And we appreciate Dr. G and Phyllis and that whole team that put that together. And they gave me a very prominent location. They gave Great News Radio a very prominent location. And so I met a lot of people. In fact, the last hour I was fading so fast, I called Holly and she took over for me. And I probably still had just say 80 or 100 tote bags on this wire rack. The time I got there, it's like there's like three left. And I'm like, what happened? I might have given out about 50 or 60 for the 3 hours I was there. And in 1 hour, she was like, poof. So hopefully they're in many good homes and advertising the station. But I had a prize drawing bucket there. And so I'll figure out what gifts, but they'll be good ones. And one of these three people will win a $25 gift card to the Texas Roadhouse. But let's see, Charlotte Bowen from Paxton, we'll get a gift off to you. Right. She's married to Bert. Ernie Porter, married to Jeanette from Champaign. There'll be some kind of prize, and certainly including a Texas Roadhouse appetizer coupon. I have a bunch of those. And let's see, Angelic from Mahomet. A-N-G-E-L-I-C, does that sound right? Usually, like, there's Angela, but I think it's Angelic, Angelia, Angela, okay. Well, we have her address, so, all right, check number one off. That leaves two and four.
Four. Let's go four.
Four. Oh, the EAS test is going to happen between 4 and 6 p.m. today. Thank you, God. We got it all up and running and sequenced and communicating with the FCC. The EAS is the emergency alert system that, say, President Obama wants to alert every station and interrupt programming for a national emergency or, you know, maybe some crisis going on. The FCC and the current administration required all radio stations to implement this whole procedure and purchase the equipments and such. And so today is one of these national tests. I think between 4 and 6, I have to be out at the radio tower and make sure it all comes off right. And I don't know if they're just going to send a pulse or a beep or interrupt the programming for up to 20 seconds, but there's some EAS tests. But I finally got all the equipment to, if you will, shake hands and work together. And it was a long, arduous problem solving. How is this going to work? Because, you know, when you have those the computer languages, you have those subnets. It's like when the internet has to shake hands with the router, and you have like the gateway numbers and then these subnet numbers, and one of our numbers was like off one, and so it just wouldn't work. And I finally got a hold of Phil, and he said, try this, and sure enough, it's all working. So thank you, God, for that. Which leaves us to number two. The theater troupe is revving up the engines again for their new season. There was a meeting the other day, kind of a vision casting meeting with Kate Freeman. And I think October 10th, there's going to be another meeting. And October 17th, there'll be some auditions. They're going to put together some fun skits for the fall. And then something during our Singing Men Christmas concert at Marketplace Mall on the 17th of December, and the future direction that the theater troupe will take, you know, utilizing the performing arts to God's glory and doing skits or little vignettes or incorporating dance or music or some other things into a skit that would be God-honoring with a transformational message. So if you're interested at all in knowing more about the theater troupe, just call the station and we'll get you in touch with Kate Freeman and the future rehearsals and auditions and the other things that they hope to accomplish in the days ahead. So, all right. So we got through them. I still have somewhat of a voice. And how's life treating you lately?
It's good. It's always busy. It's busy, but it's good.
And I see from a post yesterday that the Psalms that you've been praying over and studying and researching and thinking about and pondering and desiring to share with not only with your church and congregation, but with the Great News Radio listeners or people that are interested mm-hmm. in being transformed by God's Word. And I know you've been working on that, and I think you're going to set it up where it begins today. And is it like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday post?
Yeah, there'll be a short 2 to 3 minute video on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and those will go out sometime first thing in the morning, and really with the ear towards application and encouragement. So I really want these Psalm videos to be something very short, easy to watch, and you can walk away feeling encouraged or maybe an application step, something that you can do that day out of the Psalms to be able to draw closer to your walk with Christ.
And it launches today?
Yeah, the launch is today. So the first video, which I had already posted a week ago, I'll repost that as the first video where we start in Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2. And really, this study will be expositional. So we're just going to go through verses in little blocks. Each block is kind of a thought. And so we're just going to go through that. So we'll start today in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. And then sometime way down the road, I don't know when, we'll finish up in the last verses of Psalm 150. And so the idea is just that when we're done, there'll be a compendium of videos that'll take you through the entire Psalms. And we're going to host those on a Vimeo account. If you go to my Facebook page and you like that, or you know, we can work out some way that the radio station can provide that link for people, they'll be able to go there too and watch the videos. So maybe if you fall behind, you can catch back up. We have a place where we can catalog that and be able to just have that as a resource for people. More than anything, I just want people to have an encouraging way to begin their day. You know, it really came out of, at our church, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter. And in the book of 1 Peter, particularly in the third chapter, I preached it this past weekend, it talks to wives, but there's an application piece in the paragraph that Peter's addressing Christian women and Christian wives with that is applicable for all of us. And he says in verse 3, he says, do not let, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, do not let your adornment be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry and the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Hmm. And now some of those words in there, because they're written to women, you know, most of us men would be like, I don't want to be precious, and I really don't want to, there's some things here, and I don't really braid my hair, and I don't really do any of these things. But I think that we spend, no matter if we're men or we're women, we spend an inordinate amount of time on the external things. So for women, maybe it might be the clothing, or it might be the hair, or it might be the jewelry, it might be how they decorate the inside of the house. It may be all of those things. You know, for men, maybe it might be the outside of the house, the way we keep the lawn, the way we take care of our cars, the way we do those kinds of things that men like. But we tend to focus on external things. And here what Peter is saying is, you need to focus on the interior. You need to focus on what is happening inside of your heart. And so I love how St. Augustine was quoted as saying in one of his books, he said, arise, O sisters, put your feet to the floor and dress from the inside out. And so this idea that the first thing we would do before we would focus on the external parts is that we would pick up the Word of God and we would begin to dress from the inside out, that we would begin to adorn ourselves with the words of Christ. And so then we would seek to care for our souls. We would seek the beauty of our souls. I mean, the Bible is very clear that beauty is fleeting, that all of us, gravity is going to take hold of. We're all going to have more wrinkles at some point. We're all going to age. This body that we have is failing and falling. And so what are we doing? I mean, Corinthians tells us, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being transformed and changed day by day. And that comes by the internal adorning, where we dress the insides of ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us in another place that to hide God's word in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. Him who called us to salvation, that we might not seek. And I think the human heart tends to do this. Seek to do things that would create separation between us and God. And so when we get up and first thing in the morning before we hit the closet, I'm like, what am I going to wear and what am I going to put on? Let us put on the clothing of Christ. And it reminded me of, if I can turn here real quick in my Bible, one of the verses that I just absolutely love, and I think about it often, the third chapter of Colossians. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ. So Paul asks a question. He says, have you been raised with Christ? If you have, then this applies to you. then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So he's making an emphatic statement here. First things, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are not worldly, that are not external. They're above, they're unseen, and yet they have imperishable value, immense value. Verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And listen to this. This is the salvation piece of this, which harkens back to verse 1. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. This idea of being so wrapped up in Christ that he is the clothing that you're wearing. He is what you've adorned yourself with. And along with that, then all the things that Christ brings with him, his forgiveness and his mercy, his love and his grace and his peace. And suddenly you're able to see things differently. You know, this study that we've done as a church, and we're just in the middle of it right now, in 1 Peter has been, for me, just powerfully transforming, because Peter is really, it's really some difficult passages, Mark, where Peter talks about submission. And he talks about submission to the government. He talks about submission to, it says, servants, be subject to your masters. But for us, in our context, it might be an unjust boss or an unjust person within our community whom we're beneath their authority. You know, he says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Honor the emperor. Then he says, servants, be subject to your masters. And that flows into this beautiful piece in chapter 2, which almost verbatim quotes the suffering servant passage from Isaiah 53. This idea that Christ is your all in all, that your ultimate submission is for Christ, and because of Christ's authority over all things, you submit in these places. It's not easy to, but you submit in these places, not because it's right. Now, you do it because of Christ.
A little countercultural?
Oh, it's definitely countercultural. I mean, it has really made me temper how I deal with politics. It's tempered me in how I deal with other people, because it tells me here that I have to, in verse 17 of chapter 2, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Now, number 2 there, love the brotherhood, that's your Christian brothers. So that's a little easier, though I think that if any of us spend enough time in church, that one's difficult.
Yeah.
Fear God, that one's loaded, because some of us have an improper fear of God. It's not a reverence. It's more I'm worried he might come and get me. And then the first one, honor everyone. I mean, even like the bad people, even the people who are frustrating, even the people who I don't like or I don't agree with. And then the last one, in this politically charged season, honor the emperor. Honor the emperor? Well, Romans 13 tells us that God put all these institutions and rulers and authority in place. God did that, and therefore God knows what he's doing. A ruler didn't kind of get into office, and God goes, how did that happen?
Yeah.
God goes, I know that happened, and it's for a reason. I mean, just think about old Isaiah. He was probably scratching his head left and right, going, okay, Lord, I know you put these wicked kings in here, but why? And what's fascinating is when I went back and I read Isaiah, because we studied that as a church a few years ago, every time Isaiah deals with one of these wicked kings, he does so in such a respectful manner. Hmm. He doesn't skirt the truth. He doesn't sell out who God is, but he is respectful as he tries to call them to repentance. And I thought, that's really the place that we as Christians need to be. We need to be in a place where we're going to be bold enough. Now, listen to me, not bold enough to call somebody out, but bold enough to pray for them. Because, listen, because without Christ, we would be just like all the people that we hate. I mean, it's Christ who redeems us and who transforms us and who changes us. And that actually should drive me to want to go and reach those people more, to want to try and figure out how I spend time with them, because I know what Christ has done in my heart, and I know what he can do in theirs. I really think one of the true markers for our Christian faith is how we reach out to our brothers and our sisters, especially those who we don't agree with.
Right.
One of the verses, I was reading the Bible with a couple of guys, and we read the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, I think it's in the 3rd chapter, Paul says, of this gospel I heard that I have been made a minister of. And there's a real case in Ephesians, I think, that it makes for the fact that once you hear the gospel, you don't get to skirt your duty to be a minister of the gospel. By hearing the gospel, by knowing the gospel, by knowing the Christ who the gospel is, the message of, you have no out to to skirt your Christian witness, to skirt your duty as being a minister of the gospel, because the gospel by nature calls you forward.
I'm thinking of that song, and I'm trying to find it here. Teaching the truth in love. Yep, never compromising the truth, yet proclaiming it clearly, yet also recognizing there's a lot of layers that God wants to take us through. And, you know, submitting to those in authority above us. It doesn't mean we have to follow everything hook, line, and sinker, because there are certain things that if the government does that is contrary to God's law, obviously we need to take a biblical stand. But for many of those things that we want to whine about or gripe about or moan about, you know, we got to really re-examine our attitudes and whether we want to humble ourselves. And like you said, pray for these people in these positions of authority.
Well, you know what? I think about it this way, and then we'll honor our listeners' time and let SRN News fly in here and give us some great news. You know, I think about it. If I stand up in front of a number of people and my wife is there and I say, you know what, this is what I think we should do and this is how I think we should go, and my wife doesn't agree with me, the wrong thing in that moment to do for my wife would be to stand up and go, you know what, you're an idiot. I can't believe you just said that. You are so stupid. The right thing to do and the Christian thing to do would be for, when we're done there, for my wife to kind of pull me aside and say, you know what, I really had trouble with the things that you said, and I'm really praying about how we might get together and talk about this, because I really want to help you walk faithfully the path that you have. You know, where we come alongside and we submit to one another in a way where we use our gifts and we use our abilities to be able to build each other up, to cheer each other on. And I think too often with our words, we're tearing people down instead of building them. Yeah. Even when Jesus offered stern correctives to people, he was also there cheering them on, offering them salvation, offering them the ability to repent, offering them the ability to become better than they are, because Christ always saw more in them than they saw in themselves. And I think one of our jobs as Christians is to look at people and say, I see something in you that you don't see. And I want to help you, cheer you on, and speak truth and love to you in a way that will build you up and edify you and grow you into that person that God wants you to be.
Yeah, yeah. And that hopeful message, the good news message, the gospel message that we get to proclaim and hopefully model through our actions and our attitudes and our words and how we live life to encourage those around us. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
In love. Oh, a man came to my Jesus, telling all that he had done to fulfill the good commandments. He knew every single one. But Jesus said there's something that indeed he did lack. Yes, the Savior told the truth. He didn't hold the message back, 'cause he was teaching the truth in love.